Thank you very much. You may be seated. I'm sorry that I had such a raspy throat today. But this is 4 months straight in service. And it just seems like I could just go from one to another. I wonder if you can hear me. Can you hear me, Laura? Can you hear me up in the balcony? I guess my zeal is eating up my wisdom. Preach a lot. Then all hours I pray, and then another thing, I get hot real easy and when I'm speaking. And as I was saying last night about my hair coming out, that's not a natural thing. That was an accident. A barber did it. He was going to put some stuff on my hair to take the dandruff out. It did. Carbolic acid. So, medicine's all right, but you want to know who's giving it to you. One dose killed my father. So, and one treatment fixed me all up. So just know who's giving it. That's the same way I think about salvation. I want to know where it comes from. I want to know if somebody's talking about us having an experience of what they're talking about. That's what makes it so real. When Jesus becomes so real to us. I'm standing probably a little too close to this. A little more conscious of my hoarseness than I guess I should be. But as far as I know, I don't have no cold. It's just preached 4 months straight. All the way from the frozen regions of the north to the jungles of the south. You just change one day one place and a couple days somewhere else. And that does it. Constantly speaking outside in all kinds of weather. So we're happy to be here. Happy to be in Carolina. This has been indeed to me a great thrilling time to visit the Carolinas. And as I said the other night, I believe like the wine at the wedding supper, the Lord left the best to last. I don't mean that any disregards to other states. They've all been very nice. The whole world that I've visited has been very nice. But I've certainly, the Carolina people has found a warm place in my heart that'll be there until I'm reaching the rapture. This little pastor here, Brother Jeffrey. What a wonderful little character. He and Brother, I believe, Pardon, and Brother Bixby, the three pastors that I've met in the association of, in these revivals. How wonderful they've been to me. How I appreciate them all. So glad that Carolina has ministers like that. Just got a chance a few minutes ago to shake hands with some of the clergymen behind me. Just a good old warm panel handshake. I like it like that, don't you? We forgot that. I hope my wife forgives me. She's sitting back there. I'd call her up here, but she faint. She's so bashful. She's like me. So I was very bashful once, but I had to get out of it for the Lord. So, but she is very bashful. And I called her on the platform one time. She's seen me go into visions many times at the house. She just stepped out of the room. But the first time she was ever on the platform was a few months ago. Mr. Moore kind of tricked her into it, got her to the platform, when the anointing had already come on. She said, I don't desire to be around here anymore. And so, but if there's any credit to be given to the Branham family, let it go to her. She's the one who deserves it. She stands between me and the public, 37 years old, almost completely white-headed, and a real mother, sweetheart, wife. I trust that all of you boys, when you get married, you get a wife like God gave me. And I'm so happy for her and my children. Billy Paul, little Rebecca, Sarah, and little baby Joseph. We greet you all, and we thank you for your kindness. A few moments ago, they Thank you for taking up a love offering for me. I didn't have to do that. Wasn't asked to. Just a courtesy. I could have been a multi-millionaire, you know that. If I had just taken what was given, one offering, one bank draft was over $1,500,000. I refused to look at it when agents brought it to me. So I don't want people's money. I want their confidence. I can win them to Christ. I'd rather have. You've got some lovely homes here. I've been driving around your city. Some fine places. But you know, I'd rather, and I appreciate that. Oh, you don't know how glad I am to see God prosper someone. I love it. But the Lord has given me a home. It's a parsonage. It belongs to the church that I used to pastor. I just live there. But I tell you, I'd rather have favor with God than anything I know. And I can't have favor with God and not favor with you. You are the one who works with me in Christ. If you didn't believe me this afternoon, there would be nobody here. What good would my message do to the people if there's nobody here to receive it? What good would it do if it fell on hearts that were stony and didn't believe it? See, you're just as much into it as I am, or the rest. All together, we're co-workers in Christ Jesus. As I was speaking about my wife a few moments ago, I thought first I let it pass by, but it's just too good. She'll tell me about that on the road home this afternoon. You know, I like old-fashioned things. That's the reason I like the old-fashioned gospel. I believe that when you handshake, it just not reach out. I like one of them real good old times, see, like we used to have. Love seems to be failing in our generation. I was downtown some time ago with my wife, and a lady said, "How do, Sister Brown?" I see my wife turn. I looked around at her and I said, "Honey, that lady spoke to you." She said, "I spoke to her." I said, "I didn't hear it." She said, "I smiled." Oh, I said, "Honey, that's not a little silly possum grins is not a hello." I said, I like to hear somebody holler, "Hello." I like to, where you really speak and use the old-fashioned way. I remember Brother Bosworth, Dr. F.F. Bosworth, if he ever comes this way, greet him. He's a lovely brother. And he had retired. He did not retire, he just quit. He thought his ministry was over. That's been about 7 or 8 years ago. And now he's one of my managers. So he was having a campaign down in Florida, and there was some kind of duchess or something was letting us have the ground. So in the afternoon when it started leaving, he said, "Brother Brown, the duchess is back here." Now, friends, I didn't know then what a duchess is. I don't know any more today. I don't know what one is. But it was some kind of a woman back there, and she was dressed. Oh, my God. She had enough jewels on her arms to send a dozen missionaries around the world twice. That's not necessary. And she had a pair of specs on a stick, holding out that far from her. Now, you know nobody could see through glass that far away from her. And she's looking out like that. And she said, "Are you Dr. Brown?" I said, "No, ma'am. I'm not." I said, "I'm brother, you call me Brother Bill." And she had her hand like this. She said, "I am charmed to meet you." We reached up and got our hand put down. I said, "Well, sister, get it down here so I know it." You know, I just wonder how people put on when, after all, you're just 6 foot of ground. I was standing by a big museum here some time ago. I love art, music. And in this museum, there's two young fellows looking at analysis of a human body of a man that weighed 150 pounds. You know how much you're worth if you weigh 150 pounds? You're worth 84 cents. You got enough whitewash about you to sprinkle a hen's nest. Just a little bit of calcium and so forth. It's worth 84 cents. Think of it, sister. With a $1,000 meat coat on. Nose turned up and rained to ground. And thinking you're somebody when you're only worth 84 cents. That boy standing there said, well, one looked over and said, John, we're not very much after all, are we? I thought, this is my chance. I tapped him on the back. I said, that's truly, boys, but you got a soul that's worth 10,000 worlds. Take care of that soul. Let the 84 cents go. Watch that soul before it'll live forever. And that's true, friends. Now, with this in mind, and I'm ashamed to even try to read that same text again. I've been two times on it. Never did get to it. You're such a wonderful audience. I believe I could stay on that same text 6 months. I remember one time at my church at home, I preached nearly a year on Job. And I had him on the ash heap back there for about 4 months. Some nice lady, very diplomatically. She was too nice, I guess, to come up and tell me. But she wrote me a nice little letter. She said, remember, Benham, I'm sure enjoying every one of the messages. But when you go to get Job off the ash heap? Well, I was waiting for a climax. Got several souls to the altar when Job got off the ash heap. I just love the Old Testament. It's nuggets. And every one of them point to Christ Jesus at Calvary. Now, friends, if there's been any blessing for anything in our time has been, we don't go unless we're led to places. And I know it's been a blessing to us. Not only have you been blessed, but we've been blessed by coming. And now, I trust to God that the meetings will mean lots to you. And that you people who've been saved will join some good spirit-filled church. And all these pastors, I pray that their ministry will be blessed exceedingly abundantly. All you people, prosper in health. God bless you all. Till I see you again, pray for me. And if I happen to go before I see you again, won't you do me a favor? If I go and my body can be buried, when they let me down in the ground, they're going to say, only believe. So when you hear on the radio or news or some of it, I'm gone, stop this a few minutes and hum. Only believe. I believe I'll come out from my mom the dead someday. Most all Branhams, when they get old, some of them live long lives. My grandmother was 110. My grandfather died at 97. My grandmother on my mother's side, she died young. The scars were on her. But she was the one that was a half-breed Cherokee Indian. And my grandfather died about 4 years ago on my mother's side, being somewhere in his 90s. My father went at 52. I don't know when that will come. But usually, when they get old, the Branhams, it's just a nature like Isaac went blind, Jacob went blind, both of them prophets and so forth, just seemed to run in their family stream. The Branhams, when they get old, they go to shake, pause. I expect if I live, someday I'll have to preach my last sermon. Pray for the last sick person. I hope I'm an old man when he's finished with me, Jesus tarries. When I come all the way through every broad patch, every hard place, I come down to the river and I can feel its dashers coming. The fog coming in from out there and I know my time has come. Standing with the gray hairs hanging around my shoulders and shaking with a stick in my hand. I won't take off my helmet. Lay it down. Stick the old sword here back in the sheath of eternity. Scream out, Father, send out the lifeboat coming over this morning. He'll be there. I don't worry about that. That's been settled for 25 years. It's more settled today in my heart than ever was. I know who I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against the day. I hope to see you over there. And until then, I've got a trip to Africa, many places coming. When the winds are blowing hard, the hot breezes across the country, I'm standing in the challenge of witch doctors and so forth. Will you promise to be praying for me? Leader, I pray for you. Now let us speak to Him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Jesus, Thy Son, closing this revival, not closing it, Lord. May it just be beginning. May the influence of Your visit with us never leave these people until Jesus comes. May it start an old-fashioned revival throughout the city and the state, every church, all the full gospels, Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Nazarenes, whatever they are, Father, send a great revival to this. Bless these handkerchiefs that are here before us. O eternal God, let Your Spirit come upon each of them and bless them that they'll be healed as they go to their destination. When they're laid upon the sick folks that they're intended for, or may diseases leave their body. Bless this lovely audience, Lord. Bless Brother Jeffries. God, be with these other pastors. Be with all these members, other churches everywhere, all the pastors of the city and throughout the regions. Grant these things to us, Father. Give us just a little voice to speak, a great healing service. May many find their way to Christ, and many be healed. Or we ask it in Jesus' name, Thy Son. Amen. The same text. Genesis 22. Satan says, you can't finish it. I can't. But God, we brought Abraham from the time that he was called of God and was brought to a place where he received the promise in figurative form. Last night we left him as El Shaddai, God speaking to him. Then we got over to where God promised to Sarah and Abraham and showed a sign what He was going to do for all of His children. How many was here last night to see your hand? Do you believe it? Say amen.
Amen.
That our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All around my soul gives way, and is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock we stand, all other grounds is sinking sands. Science fails. Everything else fails. God's Word can't fail. I was with a great doctor here not long ago, doctor of science. He gave a degree to a boy, a young fellow friend of mine. And after he embraced him as receiving his degree in science, he was from Washington, and he embraced him and pinned this thing on him. And he said, son, after all these years of study in science, he said, in Washington or somewhere, some hall of science, I forget how many books was written on the latest science. He said, it would take you at least 2 years if you read day and night to read them all through. And by the time you got them all read through, then you'd have to discard everything that you learned. It's advanced so fast. To them, things that scientifically proven now would be scientifically proven to be wrong then. I said, waited. That night, that same man in Shreveport, Louisiana, sat in my meeting. I seen him. I said, I'm glad to have the doctor here with us tonight. And I heard his remark, what he said, that this young student who's here now with us, a leader of this music here tonight on the platform, but if he would take 2 years, how science will absolutely prove that the things that they once proved to be right, they proved again to be wrong. When I went to school, they told me the sun set perfectly still and the world went around. That's scientifically proved to be a lie. The sun runs also. That's right. It's See? So I suppose Joshua wasn't so ignorant after all when he prayed for God to stop the sun. See, it always comes back to the book. Here some time ago, science said, oh my, isn't that awful? That Bible says that God said, as a man thinketh in his heart. There's no mental faculties in his heart to think by. But you know what? Last year they found out God was right. The soul lives in the heart and not in the mind. That's right. So God was right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. Not as his intellectuals introduced to him, but as his soul tells him, it can't fail there. Now, so I said to that science, I said, sir, them books will fail and always will fail, but I can tell you a book that you'll never have to take back anything it ever said. It'll always be proven to be true. That's God's Word. Heavens and earth will pass away, said Jesus, but my Word shall never fail. I love that. Abraham trusted in God's Word. And we're the children of Abraham today because we trust in God's Word. We believe Him. Regardless of what people says and what a theologian say, educators say, science says, if it's contrary to the Word, every man's word's a lie and God's is true. That's the way I believe it. And no matter how strange it may seem, I believe it to be true anyhow. Now, I want you to notice, Abraham, now we're going to finish up the text just for a few minutes before we start the prayer line. Could you imagine this little boy, Isaac, being born? Abraham and Sarah now, about 115 years old was Sarah, and about 125 years old was Abraham. Waiting. Here's the promised child. The pretty little boy, about 16 years old, little hair hanging down over his shoulder, a handsome little lad. How he loved his father and mother, just as obedient. You know, children, that's what you ought to be to your father and mother. I think it's awful when you hear young people say, my old man and my old woman. I don't believe you people are crying at you little children that say that. Way up in the Northlands where I come from, they say it. And it's too bad they ever said it. Listen, that's not the old man and old woman. Someday when the floors are squeaking and cracking and a casket's going out and you look and see a gray-headed person laying there, it won't be the old man then. That's your daddy. That's your mother. You honor them now. That's the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother, which may lengthen the days on the earth that the Lord giveth thee. So, little Isaac, being so in subjection to his father and mother because he was a type of Christ, as he was in subject to the Father perfectly, and how he united his father and mother. And one day, God said, now, Abraham, you know, way down years to come, there's going to be a people, all kinds of scientific things, and they're going to try to disprove my word. But I want to double my word. After I swore I'd keep it, I'll let you live to see the day when you was 100 years old, and I turned you back to a young man of about 25, 35 years old. Again, you and Sarah, and you brought forth this child. You see my hand, now I'm going to give an example for the people of Charlotte today, for everywhere else. This how I keep my word. Now, I'll tell you what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to take your little boy and go to a certain mountain where I'm going to show you. And I want you to take him up there and lay him on an altar and offer him up for a sacrifice. I want you to kill him, Abraham, because in him, I'm going to bless all the world. Doesn't that sound strange? How's Abraham now, after waiting all 100 years to receive his child, and the child being born, that's the last, Sarah never had no more, that was all of them, and how could this be now, after he's waited all this time, and the young man here now, about 16, now take him up and destroy the only hope that you have of my promise being fulfilled? Wish I had just a little more voice. I'd just like to show you something here. Sometimes God takes away everything. Let the doctor tell you you're going to die. That's right. Prove it, scientifically show you you're going to die just to show His mercy to you. Doctor says that cancer, we got nothing for it. You know, I heard on the radio the other day that there has never been one successful cancer operation. That's right. We haven't got nothing for it. We have in the medical science, God has in His hands. Moses brought the children of Israel all the way through the land of Egypt, and when he came out of Egypt, just think, 2 million people, and when they left Egypt, there wasn't a feeble person among them. How did he, for 40 years, fight cancer, tuberculosis? How many babies was born overnight? How many houses did Dr. Moses have to visit? How many broken arms out there in that desert running around? How much pneumonia? How much malaria? Drinking out of ponds and whatever they could get to. How much bacteria did they pick up and those germs and things in the waters? Say, doctor, wouldn't you like to look into Moses' medicine kit and find out what he kept them people all well? And not even their clothes got threadbare. Wouldn't you? How many like to look in Dr. Moses' medicine kit? Would you like to see it? I know where it's at in the Bible. Would you like to hear it? Raise up your hand if you would. Just a minute. Show you just exactly where it's at. We see where Dr. Moses said. Dr. Moses had one prescription. He kept them all well with. I'm the Lord that healed all thy diseases. That's the only prescription he used. And it worked on every case. Say, that's a good thing for a doctor to pack in his briefcase, isn't it? I'm the Lord who healeth all thy diseases. That's what Moses used. And he kept people alive for 40 years and not a feeble one among them. Isn't that wonderful? Because he used God's Word. You can't go wrong as long as you're using the Word. Stay with the Word. Now, God said to Abraham, take your little boy out there and I'll show you a mountain. And you go up on this mountain and kill him. Now, what if Abraham said, now wait a minute, was that vision true? Let me study now. Was that vision true? Now God said to me, take my boy and kill him. Now, how am I ever going to be the father of nations? And that's my seed and that's a promise, see? Now, how am I ever going to be the father of nations when God is destroying the only hope I have here? Is that the only hope I have? No, I still got His Word. He promised me back there that He'd do it. And through Isaac, all the world would be blessed. So, said, I, listen to Abraham now. I received him as one from the dead. I'm persuaded that God's able to raise him up from the dead. Oh, my. Even with a horse throat, I feel religious. Sure. Abraham said, if I received him as one from the dead, what? The seed in his own body was dead 100 years old. The deadness of Sarah's womb, they were both sterile to begin with. And then if God performed a miracle and put this germ of life in there, he received him from the dead as one being dead, then God's able to raise him up from the dead. Perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh my, that would make Presbyterians shout. Think of that. Certainly, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to Him.
Praise the Lord.
I can imagine it was on Sunday afternoon when he spoke to him, maybe. On Monday morning, how's he going to do? Poor little Isaac, he looks at him, oh, he loves him. But I can't look at that. I got to think of obeying God. So he couldn't tell Sarah, because, you know, the ladies are the weaker vessel. So he sometimes, you have to watch. So I can't tell Sarah, because she wouldn't understand. Sarah never was too strong anyhow in the faith, because she laughed, she didn't believe the promise. But Abraham held her, because the man and woman are one. The woman cannot be saved in the Old Testament only by the man. Because it was circumcision and she had to be joined to her husband in order to receive it. But in the last days, God's poured out His Spirit and the women are circumcised in the heart. Just like the man. Now, but she believed her husband and called him Lord. So he said, now I can't tell Sarah. So he maybe say, Sarah, Isaac and I are going to take a little trip. We'll be back. How are we coming back? God's able. If He said so, He'll bring us back. That's good. So he saddles up a mule the next morning, cuts some wood, laid on the mule's back. He's going out in the desert. And now look, he walked 3 days. And at the end of the 3 days, he lifted up his eyes and saw the mountain where God showed him in the vision, away off. Now watch, an ordinary man ought to walk 25 miles a day. When I was patrolling for 5 years, I walked 35 miles a day through the wilderness. 10 hours. Year in and year out. And today, while a man's got gasoline feet nearly, and could do that, what could a man them days who only transportation he had nearly was either by a little slow mule or he could outwalk himself nearly. So, only way he had was travel by foot. And now, Abraham, let's say he walked 25 miles a day. And he was 75 miles back now. And he lifted up his eyes and perhaps maybe another 25 or 30 miles away, he saw the mountain. Said, yep, that's the one God showed me the vision. Now, he said to the servants, the boys is with him, listen to this now. He said, you all tarry here while the boy and I go yonder to worship. The boy and I will return. Oh, my! What? With a knife in his belt and in his heart to do the will of God was going to kill his own son. You wait here. The boy and I are going yonder to worship. The boy and I will return. How? You know God will keep His word some way. On they go, up to the top of the mountain. Now watch. When he got to the mountain, he took all this wood and laid it on Isaac's back. Wonder why he done all those things. Because he was a figure of Christ. Isaac packed the wood up the hill that he himself was the sacrifice to lay on. Christ packed the cross up the hill where he, the sacrifice, is to be laid on. Abraham, shadow of God the Father, given his only begotten Son for our sins. Abraham was giving his only Son for obedience to God. Notice now, as he go up the hill, Abraham packing the fire. And when he got up there, he said, Father, he said, here I am. He said, here is the wood, and here is the fire. Here is the altar. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Oh, could you imagine? That father's heart, pumping hard, his only child. Where is the sacrifice? Abraham, choking back the tears. Think of your own self, choking back the tears. Well, let's turn and look towards heaven. He said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the sacrifice. I'm not emotional much, but that just gets me. God will provide for himself a sacrifice, or a lamb for the sacrifice. He said, turn around, Isaac. Turn your back to me, son. He did. Isaac thought, what's this? It's leather cords taking my hands. Surely Father understands what he's doing around his feet. Went some cards, tied it together. He looked over. Abraham looked at him, brushed back the hair out of his eyes, kissed him on the cheek. God be with you, my son. Laid him up on the altar. Looked back, choking back the tears. Little Isaac, obedient to death, not asking a question. Abraham pulled a big knife from the knife from the sheath, brushed back the hair away from his little neck, looked up to God, and started to take the life of his own son. Just as he raised his hand, the Holy Ghost caught his hand. Said, Abraham, stay your hand, for I know now that you love me, not even to spare your own son. And about that time, oh God, a sacrifice bladed. A little ram, not a female, not a yoke, a ram was caught in the wilderness by his horns. What was it? Jehovah Jireh had provided a lamb. Where'd that lamb come from? Where'd that lamb come from, friends? You know what it was? Why, he was 100 miles from civilization. Where did he come from? Besides that, he's way up on top of the mountain where there's no water. Where did he come from? It wasn't a vision now. He took the ram, loosed Isaac, his son, laid the ram up and cut its throat, and blood ran out of it. It was a real ram. Not a myth, neither a vision. It was a real ram. What was it? The God that I spoke to you the other night, had brought himself down in flesh, had brought a ram there. Jehovah Jireh had provided a ram for the sacrifice. I say to you this afternoon, my Christian friend, that Jehovah Jireh still exists.
Amen.
And that Lamb, which was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, that came down from glory, made himself a little lower than angels to suffer death for all, has provided for everything that you have need of this afternoon, and has provided for your salvation. He's provided for your healing. And besides that, he said, I'll not leave you. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He will abide with you forever. And the things that I do shall you also, even more than this, for I go to my Father. Jehovah Jireh has provided a sacrifice this afternoon for your sin. Jehovah Jireh has provided the same lamb this afternoon for your sickness. Can you believe it? And will you believe it? When Jesus is here on earth, he said, a little while and the world won't see me no more, because I come from God, Spirit. And now I was in the world a little while, and now I go back to God. Then I'll come again and be with you in the form of the Holy Ghost, in you to the end of the world. And he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now he shared. God has provided a way for you. God's provided a sacrifice. He's Jehovah Jireh, who provided for Abraham, carried him through. And you are the seed of Abraham. As long as you're in Christ Jesus, you are the seed of Abraham, and you're heirs of the same promise by the same God, only in a more positive way than Abraham was. You've got about 2,800 years of experiences to look back to others and see what he's done. And if the Old Testament provided that, how much better did the New Covenant, a better thing, that we without them would not be made perfect, or them without us, rather, would not be made perfect. God has provided. I trust that you will believe it with all your heart as we pray. Now, Father, we thank thee for being Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's provided sacrifice. Now I ask you today, Lord Jesus, that you'll give grace abundantly to all the people that are here, and let them know that you provided a resurrection and farm there for Isaac, who had come to the end of his road. But you provided a way for him. And you provided a way of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and provided the Holy Ghost, knowing that the time would come when people would try to explain away all the supernatural of your word. But you provided the Holy Ghost to carry on your work, doing the same thing that you did when you were here in the corporal body. I pray today that you'll bless exceedingly and heal the sick and save the lost. Grant it, Lord, for we ask it through Christ's name. And with our heads bowed, I wonder just if there would perchance be some sinner friend here today that never has accepted this provided sacrifice. I'd just like to raise up your hand to God. God bless you, my brother. I now accept Christ. God bless you. I want to now, in Christ's name, admit to God that I'm a sinner, and I want His mercy upon me at this time. And I'm not raising my hand to you, Brother Brad, but I'm raising my hands to God and saying, I believe that story is the truth because it comes from the Bible. And I believe that all the Bible says is right. And I want God to be merciful to me, a sinner, just now. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand, lady. God bless you, young man. I see your hand. Up in the balcony. Anyone up there would say, raise your hands to Jehovah. God bless you, young lady. I see you over there. Someone else. Just now, Lord God. What makes man press their way? What makes him go right to the end of their life preaching the gospel? What makes a Christian stand and walk into the face of death without even batting an eye? It's Jehovah Jireh. He's provided a way. A way of escape. You wonder, God bless you, sir. You might have done many a good thing, I had no doubt at all. That's the greatest thing you ever done in your life. When you raised your hand to your Creator, said, now I believe. Someone else. I was looking at a dad just now raising his hand. I think about my own dad. He's done crossed over. As his locks fell across my arm, when a doctor gave him a dose of medicine to kill him with overdose of strychnine. And it killed him. He's looked up at me in his little Irish eyes. Wish I could see him walk down through these aisles today. But he's somebody else's dad here. Will you accept it, brother? Believe on the Lord? All right. Someone has backslid, then would raise your hand and say, God, I want to come back. I feel condemned today. I want to come back to Christ. Will you take me back? Would you raise your hand? Well, God bless you, sir. Someone else? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here. Someone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you desire to be baptized into the body of believers by the Holy Ghost. There's only one baptism. That's Holy Spirit baptism. Water is only a type. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Wonderful. Dozens of hands up. Then, Heavenly Father, I give them to Thee. Thou hast said in Thy divine word, He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me has everlasting life. See as those people raise their hands and watch their expression change. Sure, you can't make an act in God's order without something happening. Now thank Thee, Father, that they have eternal life now. They'll never perish or never come into judgment. You said it. I believe you. And those who've wandered away, God, just now, speak to their heart. Oh, the way of a transgressor's heart. Nothing but trouble in the way. Weary, scared. God, just now, may you take all their fears away. Put your arms around and say, come on back to the sheepfold, my child. That's me that's speaking to you. It's my voice. The still small voice. God, those who are wanting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I pray that the glory of God will strike this building this afternoon, and everyone here will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Father. May the little church grow and prosper. I commit them to Thee now, believing Thy Word and quoting Thy Word, Lord. Some of these people I may never see again till I meet at Your face. Then I'll see them. And they'll never forget this day. They can't raise their hand except You without having eternal life. You said so, Lord. If that hand beneath it had a foundation of a true, honest heart, something happened. You're the one who said the word. They should never perish, never come into judgment, but have passed from death into life because they believe. Now they're Yours, Father. We commit them to You in Jesus' name. Amen. I hate to leave you. God bless you, Carolina. Everywhere. I just say goodbye now because of if the Lord Jesus does come in His anointing power, I don't know when they take me. The only way I know, Brother Woods or some of them comes up here, goes patting me on the side, I know him to quit praying right then, see? I don't know. When I'm up there, I feel like I'm a giant. When I'm down here, I'm all right. But just come out of there one time. How many ever know that poets and prophets always consider a little crazy or something? Neurotics. Sure. How many of you ever heard of Stephen Foster? You ought to. Well, America's best folk songs. Old Black Joe, old folks at home, Swanee River, old Kentucky home. Do you know every time you get inspiration right by those songs? Then you get on a drunk. You know, finally, after you wrote a famous song, he called a servant, took a razor, and committed suicide. How many of you ever heard of William Camper? Let's see your hand. How many of you heard this song? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins when sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain. William Camper wrote that. I stood by his grave not long ago, 2 or 3 years ago, in London, England. I had to shed a tear. He was considered a little crazy. You know, after he wrote that song, did you ever read the history of it? He got in a cab and tried to find the same river to commit suicide. He come out of inspiration, see? You don't worry, is that? Look at Jonah the prophet. After God keeping him alive 3 days in the belly of the whale, come out and give his prophecy in such a way that a city the size of St. Louis, Missouri repented. Put sackcloth on their animals. And then went up on the hill and had the inspiration left him. A little worm come out and cut a gourd tree down and he prayed God to take his life. See? It's neurotic like. Look at Elijah, who called for no rain to come, and it didn't come for 3 years and 6 months. Then called rain out of heavens, then called fire out of heavens the same day. And when the Holy Spirit left him and the vision was completed, the Lord fed him some cakes, put him to sleep, woke him up about an hour or two and fed him again. And he was so unconscious till he wandered out in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. And when God found him, how many knows where he found him? Pulled back in a little cave. Is that right? Didn't know where he was at. Wandering around. See? What does it speak of? There's a land beyond the river. That's right. No need trying to explain it. You can't. If prophets and so forth couldn't explain, how could we? It's just true. That's all. Now, how many share for your first time? Let's see your hand. Just look at the hands. God bless you. So glad to have you. I can't do justice, friend, in just a little time like this to explain to you. I just want to ask you something, and I'm sure you second comers will bear with me a minute. My contention is this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Bible says so. Do the newcomers believe that? Say amen. The Bible, Jesus, when He was here on earth, He claimed that He was going back to turn to the Father again in form of Spirit, but would come in the form of the Holy Ghost and would abide with us forever. And the very same works that He did then, He would do through His church until He come again. How many knows that's true? Say amen.
Amen.
See? He promised it. He said a little while and the world. Now what is the world? Worldly minded. See? The worldly minded people, church members, so forth, will see me no more. Did the church members actually see him in that day? No, sir. They never seen him in the light of who he was. They seen his corporal body because they had a sense of sight. Those who could see. Those who couldn't see, he gave them their sight so they could see. He said to them, it'd be better if you had born blind than you wouldn't know to see him. But look, they saw him in the light that he was a human being, but they didn't see him in the light of the Son of God, because they said he was a devil and was a mind reader, Beelzebub, the chief of the fortune tellers. But there were some people then who believed him. Is that right? They were called the common people. Now, what did Jesus do? What was any different from him than any other man? Now, if we can find out what he was then, he is the same today. If he is the same, if he's raised from the dead, and all that believes that he is, he did raise from the dead and is alive today, say amen.
Amen.
And so be it. Now, I'm just getting your sanction. Now notice, then if the man, if this book went down on the floor and I put this book in its place, that's not resurrection. That's replacement. But if this book went down, if it resurrected, it come back up, it's the same book. Then Jesus in the resurrection, to show that it ain't some other somebody else or something else, he's got to be the same. Now he wasn't no great theologian. He wasn't no scholar. He never went to any seminary. He never had any degree. Not a record anywhere wherever he even went to any schools or anything like that. But the best of the learned come to him for wisdom. His disciples were ignorant and unlearned, the Bible said. All but one, but Paul. And Paul said, I had to forget all that I ever knew in order to know Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have to do that too. Forget what you know so you can learn Christ. But now, what did he do? What was this man? Why did a little fellow like him, no beauty you should desire, he probably stoop-shouldered, he's only 30, and the people said he looked 50. Well, I said, you're not a man over, not much over 50 years old, and you say you've seen Abraham? He's only 30. His work must have put a tremendous strain on him. Probably gray beard a little, and gray in his hair. And you say you've seen Abraham? He said, well, before Abraham was, I am. Who that was talking to them lips? That was God speaking through his lips. I said, you're not long ago the woman who told me that I put too much emphasis on Jesus being divine. He was divine. And he's still divine. You people that would want to believe him just to be a prophet, shame on you. If he's just a prophet, we're lost. That's right. If he wasn't anything less than Almighty God, we're lost. Right. She said, Mr. Branham, if I can prove to you that Jesus Christ, that he was only a mortal and he wasn't divine by the Bible, will you believe it? I said, the Bible said so, yes, because that's his word. She said, I'll prove it. She said, when he went down to the grave of Lazarus, St. John 11, said the Bible said he wept. And when he was divine, he couldn't weep. I said, lady, that just shows how thin your ideas are. I said, he was a man, but he was a God-man. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That's what fooled the Jews. They looked at the man and said, now look here, listen to the kind of language he uses. His grammar, how bad it was. He talked like common people because he's the one who heard him. And look how he dresses. One old robe. It's been washed so many times it's threadbare. Wool throughout without a seam. Martha and Mary made it for him. Look at that fellow. You mean to tell me that he knows more about it than our scholarly rabbis and priests and high priests and stuff that studied all their life? Who is he? Look, he was born down with a black name behind him to begin with as the illegitimate child. Who are you to teach us wisdom? He said. What school did you come from? Where'd you get these things? Oh, my, that blasphemy. I said, yes, lady. He did cry when he went to the grave of Lazarus. He's a man among men. But when he stood there and straightened up them little shoulders, said, Lazarus, come forth. And a man that had been dead 4 days stood on his feet and lived again. That was more than a man. That was God. He was a man when he come down off the mountain that night, hungry, looking around for something to eat. He was a man when he couldn't find nothing to eat on that fig tree. That was a man hungry. But when he'd taken 5 biscuits and 2 little fishes and fed 5,000, that was more than a man there. Sure was. He was a man that night out in that little boat, out on that wavy sea, storm up, 10,000 devils of the sea swore they're drowning. That little old boat pitching like a bottle stopper out there. He was a man laying there so tired and weary that even the waves didn't wake him up. But when he got up, put his foot on the rail of the boat, looked up and said, peace, be still. And the wind and the waves obeyed him. That was more than a man. That was God. Truly, he cried for mercy at the cross. He cried like a man when he was dying. But when he rose on Easter morning, he proved he was God. Amen.
Praise God.
He's a resurrected one. He was a God-man. God was in Christ. He said, "For my," that's the reason people couldn't understand it. Sometimes it was Christ speaking, or it was the Son speaking. Other times it was the Father speaking. He was a dual person. He was one man, the Son. God was in him, which was tabernacling in him. But what did he do? Did he go around and say, "I'm the healer"? Very contrary, he said, "I'm not the healer." He said, "It isn't me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me." And in St. John, the 19th chapter, when he was questioned to passing a whole bunch of crippled, lame, withered, halt, blind people, heal one man laying on a pallet, the Father showed him to go there and heal. Walk away and left the rest of them laying there, they questioned him. The man packing his bed on the Sabbath, listen to what he said, St. John 5:19. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. But what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise." Is that what he said? "I do nothing till the Father shows me a vision first what to do." Step back in his life a little bit. At the beginning of his ministry, and just a couple places for the newcomers, and then we'll close. Look, when Philip got converted, went over and found Nathanael. Said, "Come see who we found, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nathanael had been praying under a tree. Said, "Now, could there be any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He said, "Come see." That's the best way to find out. Come and see. He come up and stood in the prayer line, perhaps where Jesus was or in the audience. Where Jesus, as soon as he seen him, he'd never seen him in his life. Standing there, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there's no God." Why not? Listen close. He said, "Say, Rabbi, Reverend, teacher, when did you know me? How do you know me? You never seen me in your life, and how do you know me?" He said, "Before Philip called you, 15 miles around the mountain, I know when he was under the tree, I saw you. There stood the priests and the rabbis, the doctors, DD, double LD. They said, you know who he is? He's a mind reader. He's Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Well, all the power of all the mind readers, he's the chief of them all." Jesus turned and said, "You'll be forgiven for that. You speak that against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But one day the Holy Ghost is coming." Hallelujah. "After my blood shed down over you, bloodthirsty atheist. Said you're your father, the devil." He said, "When that blood is shed and the Holy Ghost comes and does the same work that I do, if you speak one word against it, it'll never be forgiven in this world or the world to come." How many knows that scripture? So be careful. Just one word's all you have to get out of line. So you see where I stand here today? Who am I to stand here with these kind of things? See? Now what did this man, the miracle was performed on? You said a miracle? He wasn't healed. That ain't don't have to be a healing for a miracle. It's all kinds of miracles. Sure, it was a miracle and he knew he was under the tree. Is a miracle he knowed who he was? Is a miracle he knowed their names? So he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, because I said that, you believe it? You'll see greater than this. That was his sign. That was the sign of the Jew, that he was the Son of God because he could do this. A woman touched his garment, run off out in the audience. This is to the newcomer. She ran off out in the audience because she said in her heart, if I can touch him, I can be made well. Then when she did that, she felt satisfied she was going to be healed. Jesus said, who touched me? While they said, touch it, the woman and all of them said, no, not me. Everybody denied, the Bible said. Well, said, somebody touched me because I got weak. See? That's what causes weakness here. It's your faith. See? And said, I got weak. Virtue went from me, or strength went from me. Virtue is strength. Said, strength went from me, I got weak. So he kept looking around until he found the little woman. He set his eye on her. She had a blood issue. Said, your faith, not no vision I saw, but your faith did. Is that right? Thy faith. He didn't even know who she was, nothing about her. There was no vision. Just her faith touched him. Said, thy faith has made you whole. If Jesus did that day, he's got to do it today if he's raised from the dead. The Bible said he's the high priest. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, as you're in spirit form, you can touch him with your sickness. Now, closing. May the Lord help you to believe it. If Jesus Christ will return, now he can't come here in a corporal body. When his body comes in glory, every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Is that right? And all this isms going around, my poor little children, you be careful. As you're waiting around, because there's everything in the world. Remember, when all in the last days the Bible said that the devil would go about like a roaring lion. Lying wonders, deceiving. Is that right? And when all hell opens up, remember all heaven will open up too. See? And the Bible said that Jambres and Jambres would raise up in the last days and almost deceive the very elect. Be careful, brother. Keep it right on the Word of God. Don't leave there. There's a whole lot of things today going on that's not coming from that Word. And you leave it alone. Stay with the Bible. Because the Bible said to deceive the very elect, if possible. But when your name's wrote on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, you'll know His voice. Stranger, you'll not follow. Don't care if oil's pouring out of hands and feet and everything else. You'll know that don't come from the Bible. And you'll stay with God. Now, just watch. All kinds of wonders. Now remember, if Jesus has raised from the dead, He's alive, and He works to His church, and He set some in the church, what? First, missionaries, or apostles, both the same, one said. Second, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Is that what the Bible said? He set 5 church offices, missionaries, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. For the perfecting of the church. Then there's 9 spiritual gifts that operate through the body. Now one of them is the gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom, gift of tongues, gift of interpretation, and all those things, gift of prophecy. Now there's a vast difference between a gift of prophecy and a prophet. A gift of prophecy goes from one to another, and before the church can even receive it, it's got to be judged before 3 spiritual judges. And if it don't come to pass, then it's wrong. You got the wrong spirit among you. Like speaking in tongues and interpretations. That's where you Pentecostal peoples let down. I'm not your judge, but that's the Word. That's right. You went haywire on that. You got to watch them things. Let it absolutely be done decently and in order. And when a message goes, hear it. Come down to Tabernacle one time. Watch how we operated there. Them things has to be every word true. If it doesn't, that person goes to the altar and get that evil spirit off of them. God don't lie. God tells the truth. Amen. Then you have the church in order. That's what we're going to teach when we get to 10. It's So we can get the big church and see if God can get us set together. All them gifts goes in the church, but the people just get them and just go anyway with them. Like Paul said, people say you're crazy. That's what's hurt the Pentecostal church. Certainly. You've had the gifts, but your pastor has failed it. Excuse me, brethren, I didn't mean that. Well, yes, I did too. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, I mean, see. But look, it's failed to set that church in the right order. That's right. That's what the church needs today. Let that church get in order and watch all the hell turn loose saying. Yes, sir. It'll come together. You know, Solomon's first temple of God was cut out all over the world, but when it come together, every stone went right to its place. See? The chief cornerstone, the rejected one, was to become the chief of the corner. Now, all these spiritual gifts. Now, a gift of prophecy, a prophet is born the prophet. A gift of prophecy is on one and then the other, and one and then the other. It's just in the church. And all nine spiritual gifts should be operating in every local body. Yes. There ought to be judges there, and so forth, in the church in order and working right. But now a prophet. Now look, Jeremiah. Well, we take Moses, he's born a prophet. Elijah, John the Baptist went right into the wilderness. See? A prophet. There's Zechariah. God told Zechariah, said, before you was even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Is that right? All the way up they had, thus saith the Lord. No judges standing before them. They had the word of God. That's right. God in sundry times and divers manners spoke to the fathers through the prophets, but through this last day through His Son, Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. Now, if he's standing here with these prophetic gifts and all kinds of gifts operating in the church, you ought to believe him. Will you do it? Now, Heavenly Father, may you grant these blessings this afternoon to the people as we wait for the furthering of your Spirit to bless us. We ask in Christ's name, amen. That's just all now, Ben. I got off on teaching there. Let's just sing together only believe. Will you just once kind of come back now? I wonder while we're singing this, if Jesus will appear here this afternoon, the resurrected Jesus, will appear here this afternoon in His body of people and do the same things that He did back there when He was here on earth, will you believe Him? Now look, Cleopas and them, after the resurrection, they thought He was dead. He was walking with people that loved Him. And many of you people love the Lord. But you fail to recognize that He's with you all the time. That's what's the matter with your healing today. You fail to recognize that He's right by you. Oh, I wish I could get that to you. My, wish I could let it soak down on that side about five ribs deep. See? If you could only recognize, look at the Cleopas in there. They're walking along saying, well, guess it's all over. He's dead. We see him killed. We see the spear go through his heart. Died day before yesterday. Well, we might as well go back home. That's all. Yeah, I got a story down there. The women said they saw him, but of course we heard the report. Jews come, stole him away, tuck him out. I wonder what's happened. The stranger walked out and said, good morning, brother. Good morning, sir. So what is he so sad about? Said, are you a stranger and don't know that Jesus of Nazareth, who we expected to be the King of Israel, has dead? This is the third day and so forth. And why, he said, foolish and hot and slow to understand. What? The first thing he went was right straight to the Scripture. That's where Jesus always goes. When you see a man dodging that Scripture, you dodge him. You stay right on that Scripture. He went right straight to the Scriptures and began with the prophets and began to explain in the Old Testament how that God was supposed to do, raise up Christ and how He's to die and raise the third day and so forth. And they didn't know it was Him. They walked all day with Him. So when He got to the place where He's going to go in, He acted like He's going to go on by. You know, that's the way He acts a lot of times. You think He's going to pass you right by? He ain't. Don't worry. He's not going to pass you by. So He just acts like He's going to go by. Oh, they said, you must come and abide with us. The day's far spent. You must, they constrained Him to come in. Said, all right. When He's invited, He'll come. So they go in, close the door. The little waitress come up and said, what do you gentlemen have? They ordered the bread and stuff. And so she went back and brought it out, set it down. They returned thanks. And then Jesus done something the way he used to do it. And Cleopas looked at his friend looked back to him. Why, he said, that's the same way, that's the same way Jesus done it with. And looked back and he was gone. You see? They didn't run back real quick to argue their religion. They ran back to say the Lord's risen indeed. Now, we're not here to argue somebody's theology, whether Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or baptized this way, that way, sprinkled. Don't pay attention to that. I'm here to say that Christ has risen from the dead. That's the main thing. And our hope is not in vain. And I'm trying to help the sick people by it, to let them know that he died to heal them as same as he died to save them. May you come into it, is my prayer. Only believe. All things are possible if you can only believe. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. I've asked the Father in the name of Jesus for his Son to come. And you yield yourself to him. I'll yield myself to him. He'll speak to us this afternoon. The Lord bless you. All right. Where's the prayer, Lord? Did you give it? From what to what? They were given. Ease. This 5 days, A, B, C, D, E. That's right. Ease. Finally, let's see. We've been calling ones and fifties. Let's call something strange from it today, then. Let's call from 75 today. Who has prayer card E75? It's a little bitty thing like this little white card. Got a number, a letter. E75. Would you raise your hand? Maybe I got the wrong. Was it E? Oh, I'm sorry, sister. Come up here. Right here at the bottom of the steps. E75, 76, 77, 78, 79. 79? All right. 80. 81. 82. 83. 84. 85. 86. 87. 88. 89. 90. 91. 92. 93. 94. 95. 96. 97. 98. 99. 100. I'll be real reverent. I will not be responsible for critics or what happens. I hope to see you again next year or whenever we can get the tent. I want to thank the Christian businessmen for their fine cooperation, for the pastors, their fine cooperation, for the custodians here, whatever, and for the ushers. They've done a fine job for the sister organist here and the pianist, for every one of you, for your tape recordings, for your help, for your support, for everything, God richly bless you, is my prayer. I pray that he'll pay you 100-fold. Remember, if I can be of a favor to you, write to me. The night don't get too dark, the rain don't fall too hard. I'll be praying for you. All right. While they're trying to line up the prayer line here for those who has their prayer cards, let's start the prayer line at the same time. Would you, brother, go ahead and bring up some of the people there? How many here doesn't have a prayer card and wants Jesus to heal you? Let's see your hands. Pardon me. God bless you. My beloved friends, my most gallant people, you realize what you've done a while ago? When you put in that offering, you know what you did? You're helping me feed my children. If there's any leftover that I don't, my expenses run me home about $100 a day. My office and everything, sending out naughty claws. Everything's free. And I'll assure you this, brother, sister. There'll not be one sinner that'll go for the wrong thing, best of my knowledge. It'll go to the mission fields that are helping preach the gospel to the unsaved and the heathen of the land. Then I'm the steward over that. It's out of your hands. It's in my hand now. Might have been $100. It might have been $300. I don't know what it was. If it was $1,000, I don't know what it was. Whatever what it is, it's up to me now. I'll answer for it from here out. And I want to be a good steward to the Lord. I use it to the best of my knowledge to His glory. Thank you. God bless you. Now, I wonder, you know right offhand, Abide With Me, without the music video, that song Abide With Me, just kind of a little loud, if you will, so the crowd can come. That's right, sister, if you'll come. I love that song. Down, it's in church. Abide with me, O God. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Abide with me. Now, Heavenly Father, be thou with us, Lord. We realize that opposition stands close. Satan is raging. Unbelief is trying to settle in upon the people. Yet the angels are at their position. They're standing ready. Either the black flags will wave, or the white flags of heaven will wave in victory. God, we ask in Jesus' name for the victory. Help us now. Forgive us of our sins. And may we all meet at thy home someday in peace. Until then, help us as we go along, encouraging others to believe. For we ask it in Christ's name, Son of God. Amen. Now, if the engineer will watch my voice. Just slowly, if you will. Now, the lady here. First, all these people, I don't know them. You know that. I'm a stranger. I'm a stranger to you, I suppose. I don't know you. I've never seen you. But yet, God knows you. But if the Lord Jesus will reveal to me something that you have need of. Just like this, to the newcomers, this happened to come to my mind. Here's a typical picture now. I'm talking to the newcomers, your first one. Here's a picture today of Bible time again. The Lord Jesus, when He went about, is the prophet of Galilee. And He claimed He could do nothing Himself, but just as the Father would show Him. So one day He went up to Samaria. He had need to go up on His road to Jericho, went up over the mountain. Wonder why? Said the Father sent Him up there, of course. He sat down on a well, and a woman come out, get some water. And He said He sent His disciples away before that to get some food. And He said to the woman, bring me a drink. Why would He do that? Bring me a drink. Maybe He's not thirsty. She said, it's not customary for you Jews to ask Samaritans such as that. Said, we have no dealings with each other. That's right. Said, but if you know who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. And I'll bring you water, you don't come here to draw. She said, the well's deep and you don't have nothing to draw with. He said, but the water out here is life, bubbling up. Well, she said, our fathers worship in this mountain and you say it's Jerusalem. He said, salvation is of the Jew, woman. We know that. We worship, we know what we worship, salvation of the Jew. But the hour is coming when the Father don't want them worshiping this mountain, neither at Jerusalem, but in the Spirit and truth. And the Father seeketh such. Is that Scripture? And then what was he doing? Carrying this conversation with the woman, he was contacting her spirit. The Father said, go up there. That's all he knew to do. Father told me to come down here. That's all I know to do. Here's a woman. I don't know anything about her. But what am I doing? Contacting your spirit. Same thing he did. Now, Jesus said to the woman, go get your husband. He found her trouble. Was that right? Said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have any husband. Said, that's right, you got five. What did that Jew say when he told him where he was? He said, this is the sign of the Messiah. You're the Christ, the King of Israel. What's this Samaritan now? What you going to say? Why, she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. She said, I know that when Messiah, we know, the Samaritans, we know that when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things. But who are you? He said, I'm he that speaks to you. What was that the sign of? Newcomers? Messiah, is that right? It is a sign of Messiah to the Jew. It was a sign of Messiah to the Samaritan. The same thing to the Gentile when Peter went up. Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, if the Messiah is not in the grave but alive today in his church, it's still the sign of the Messiah. Is that right? At the house of Cornelius, when Peter went in and showed him about the vision he saw it on the housetop, seeing Cornelius and them, he seen them. That was a sign of the Messiah of the resurrection. While Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on every one of them here. Ain't it too bad today that our hearts are so stony? We can't tender ourselves up. You know why? I've seen something just like if the Lord doesn't happen one time in India, thousands. One time in Durban, South Africa, I've seen 20,000 raw heathens come to Christ at one time. I saw 25,000 people get healed at one time. They hauled seven loads, truckloads of crutches, wheelchairs, and things away from the grounds for one prayer. But oh, we got so much doctrine. Dr. Jones says it's mental telepathy, like the Jews did. The other says it's a devil. It don't have nothing to do with poor people. We need missionaries in America worse than all the world put together. It's a lot harder to deal with an educated heathen than an uneducated one. Heathen means unbeliever. Now, the lady, sister, of course, me not knowing you, never seen you in my life, there has to be some way out. If God will tell me what you're here for, or something just like he did through Jesus to the woman, will you accept him? Will the audience accept him with all your heart? You believe you'll accept him? Watch her. The woman under oath, as it would be, we don't believe in swearing, but her hand up. We don't know one another. Is that right, lady? Never met in our life. We don't know each other. Just,
I've been in
meetings. You've been in my meetings, but I don't know you. That's what I meant, you see. We don't know one another. This is our first time meeting. All right, then if something is revealed, it'll have to come through God. Now, you could claim it, telepathy, you could claim it, the devil, well, that would determine what you get out of it. You know, the woman touched his garment, she got virtue. But the man who put a rag around his head, that Roman soldier, the soldiers, and criticized him and hit him on the head with a stick and said, tell me who hit you. We believe you now. They didn't do no virtue. They didn't get nothing. Condemnation went to hell for it. They didn't repent. So that's just a turning point. That's wrong. Now, if God will tell me what you're here for, you'll believe me to be his servant, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's his spirit who's here doing the same thing he done in the Bible. Remember, the whole audience claimed they would do. Now, you be the judge. Be whether it's right or not, let you judge it. Now, the first thing, the woman, I see her all upset about something. First, yes, she's nervous. See, she's extremely nervous. course, that's the time of life that she's going through at the time. That's her age. Another thing, she has a growth on her back. That's right. One on your foot, too. That's right. That's right, raise up your hand. You believe?
Yeah.
Now, can I take the growth off? No. Jesus did that at Calvary. You believe it? You got some more trouble you're into, too, aren't you? It's a relative of yours. Yes. It's a domestic trouble, like. It's about a marriage or divorcing and so forth. It's your nephew. Is that right? Now, do you believe me? All right. Go receive what you've asked for. Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. Now, he's here. I don't know how you judge it. That's up to you. Christ, I've preached his word. Christ is here to confirm his word, to fulfill his word. That's up to you what your heart is. I shall continue with the prayer line. How do you, lady? I don't know you, lady. You know that. God only knows you as far as I'm concerned. You may have lots of people know you, but I don't. But if God will tell me what your trouble is, will you believe that it's Christ and not your brother standing here doing this? You will. You're suffering with some kind of something that stiffens you. Arthritis. It's fine. You got arthritis. That's right. Raise your hand. And you got a growth, too. And that growth's in your throat. That's right, isn't it? Now you believe? And just walk off the platform like a young lady. Arthritis is gone from you. Swallow, do what you suffer, do whatever you wish to. Let's say thanks be to God. How do you do, sir? We're strangers to each other, I suppose, sir. You're conscious that something's going on, aren't you? Yes, sir. The audience can see the expression of the people as they walk close. How many have seen that picture of the angel of the Lord? Let's see your hand. That's what's right here with this brother now. Right? You realize something's going on? That stands between us at this time, sir. We'll stand before it someday for judgment. I couldn't heal you if you're sick. You know, Jesus did that. What he did, it's already paid for. We just have to believe it, accept it, have faith in it, believe it. God intended it for us, which he did. But you're suffering with it looks like a blood or something. It's kind of, it's diabetes. Sugar diabetes. That's right, isn't it, sir? You believe me to be a servant? You do that, audience? Look on me just a minute, sir. You have a very fine spirit about you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've never seen you. I'll say this, you're not from this town. You're from about 100 miles away from here, a place called King or something like that. Right. And your initial is W.C. Searcy. That's right. You believe me now as God's prophet? And go be well. Jesus Christ. You believe? Come down. Have faith. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. You believe, lady? I believe you're telling the truth. All right, may the Lord bless you and help you. Now, the first thing, you're suffering with a trouble with your head. Some kind of an injured nerve. You also got a bladder trouble, haven't you, body? That's what your doctor told you anyhow. That's right. You believe you're healed?
Thank God. Lord, believe it with all your heart.
Well,
and
may
the Lord bless you.
And we thank our Heavenly Father for our good service.
God
bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, if this didn't weaken me so. Just have faith. Audience, are you conscious what's going on? Do you realize that somewhere in the supernatural realm here stands the resurrected Christ? He's out there too. Do you believe it? Look this way, I'm telling you to. Anywhere in the building, just look and say, God, I believe it. What you praying about, little lady, sitting on the other? You believe me to be his prophet? You want to get over a nervous spell, don't you? Right? If that's right, stand on your feet, little lady. Right? And how many of this little elderly lady standing here? That's right. You were sitting there praying because you have a nervous condition, don't you? It's a mental disturbance. You're always upset. Isn't that right? If that's right, wave your hand like that. Now, right now you don't feel it, do you? It's gone from you. You're healed. Your faith is healed you. Now you can go home a well woman, glorifying God. Look, sister, don't weep. Believe. Do you believe me to be his prophet or his servant? Huh? I couldn't heal you, you know, if I had to, could I? But if God will reveal to me your trouble, will you accept it? Your trouble is that you're real weak. That's right. You've lost a lot of weight. I see you're a bigger woman than what you really are now. Why? You've just come from a hospital. You've had an experience in a hospital, and you're so weak you can't hold yourself up. That's right, isn't it? Thus saith the Lord. That's right, stand on your feet. Now, your weaknesses leave you. You go home and be a well woman. Your faith made you well. Amen. Have faith in God. If thou canst believe. Are you the patient or the person? You believe? You believe what I preached about Jesus Christ being the Son of God? Is that right, believe? You are a believer. How do I know? You could be a critic, but your spirit is welcome. You're a believer. I'm just your brother. I never seen you in my life. But now, if you're needing healing, I couldn't do it. You know that. If you're needing forgiveness for something, unless you sinned against me, I could forgive you if you sinned against me, but God has to forgive you. But you're alive. You couldn't hide now. Because you're already in contact. Amen. It's wonderful. You're a nervous person too. Really all upset. Weary. Then you got a rupture too. That's right, isn't it? You believe me to be his prophet? You got more trouble than that, sister. It's the son you're praying about. The son is mentally retarded. Your boy. You're praying about him. You're not from here either. Place called Greenville. That's right, isn't it? Take that handkerchief that you wiped your tears with, lay it on the child. You'll be praying. Yes, sister. Get the black gloves on your hands like this. Raise up, look this way at me. If I will quote to you your prayer that you were praying, and I heard in another dimension, another world, telling you what you're praying about, will you believe that Jesus heard you? And this is his anointing. Who hears prayer? Christ. You were praying for a bladder condition, and you were praying for a colon condition. and asking God to have me to speak to you. Is that right if it is? I want you to stand up to your feet just a minute so that people know. Turn around to the audience. You believe? Don't fear, sister. You're going to be well. Why do I say that? It turns white light around you. First it was a dark shadow. Then that light come down as you accepted the same angels on there. It went away. Now go believe and don't doubt. Because he'll try to come back. The last estate will be seven times worse. But you believe what you're told. If he knows what your past was, surely he knows what your future will be. And look, another thing. That deep walk with God you're seeking. That's right. True, you're going to receive that now. Not reading your mind, it's telling you what your desire is and what your prayer is. How do you do it? What do you think about all this? You believe it's the Son of God, not your brother, you know? My, how can I do those things? I have no... Sister... Have faith. I can't heal you, but believe. You raised up a while ago, got the wrong person. There's a little lady sitting here in front. But you wanted, it's nervous, that kept causing, but your trouble comes from your back. That's right, isn't it, the little girl there? Raise your hand up if that's right. See, you stepped up just a little ahead. That's all right. I seen what was wrong with you. Lay your hand over the lady next to you because she's got arthritis. She wants to be prayed for. Isn't that right, lady? The elderly lady? Raise up your hand. You believe me to be a servant now? Have faith and believe. I see you having something around your arm. Well, it's a blood pressure thing. And he says your blood's low. That's right, isn't it? Let me tell you something else. Might encourage you. Low blood pressure is worse than high. We realize that. Especially at your weight. But I want to ask you something. Let me tell you so you know that Jesus Christ is here. You got somebody else you're praying for. That's your daddy. He isn't here. But he's got a bad hip. That's right, isn't it? Now go and take that handkerchief you wipe your tears from and receive what you asked for. Come, lady. You know God can heal diabetes. Do you believe that? All right, go tell him. Thank him. Then thank the Lord. Go even. Come, lady. You believe me, sister? You're mighty young to have that kind of a condition. It's a female condition, a lady's trouble. That is right, isn't it? You believe he heals you? You're feeling something now you never had before, isn't that right? I go believe it. It'll come to pass. If thou canst believe. Sister, God, you got one of the worst diseases there is, heart trouble. But God can heal heart trouble, can't he? You believe it? You believe it? All right, then go and receive it. And be made well with all your heart. How do you do, lady? Now listen, arthritis is bad. The doctors has nothing for it, but Jesus has. Do you accept it? Go walk across the platform and receive your healing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come, lady. Do you believe with all your heart? You believe Jesus Christ is sure to make you well? All right, the female trouble has left you. I want to tell you something. That had a drainage to it, too, didn't it? All right, go rejoicing, happy, and thanking the Lord for his peace. God bless you. See, you slip there. Satan tried to upset you. But you know what did it? It was just a little something strange. Because a woman just passed by, you was healed heart trouble. The same thing that you had, you was healed. That's called what caused him to try. So he offered to hurt you, but he failed. You're healed. Your lady's condition, main thing, you're nervous. In a lady's condition, in a female trouble, causes that. You believe you're healed? Then go and receive him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have faith! Lady, what's a kidney trouble or back trouble to God? You believe he'll make you well? Then go and receive it in Jesus' name. You believe? Huh? Wait a minute. You believe? believe your wayward daughter will come home and be saved, lady? You're praying for your daughter, aren't you? Yes. Lay your hand on that lady next to you. She's got bronchial trouble in her bronchial tubes. Isn't that right, lady? Have faith in God. What about you right behind her? You got spine trouble, haven't you, lady? Stand up on your feet there, little white man. Put your hand on the lady next to you. She's got arthritis and she wants to be healed. Stand up on your feet. Believe. Now your heart's all over now. You're healed. How about the rest of you? Do you believe? Do you believe he's here? Has he raised the Lord? Do you want the Holy Ghost? This is it. You can receive it. Stand on your feet and give him the praise and you shout his